League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Okay then, a very good evening. Welcome to the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Delighted, as always, Wimbledon fans, to have your company with us wherever you are this evening. But I've got a couple of you in the studio, as always, which is brilliant. Kevin.
Hello.
Hello again.
Hello, Jake.
I'm joined by a newbie. Who is this?
Well, this is George Jones, everyone.
Okay.
Say hello, George.
Hello, George.
Oh, you should have said hello, George. That would have been much funnier. next time I'll set you up for a joke, go for it, okay? George is very familiar to most Dons fans.
He's a familiar name, and I have a confession. Yeah. I'll be completely honest. Yeah. I didn't think George was real.
No, there is a lot of people who think George is unreal. Even the people that know him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if George is actually real. But no, he does get mentioned a lot on the show.
He does. So every time that something happens, I mean, I'm sure everyone listening is fully aware of this.
Yeah.
George is blamed.
He normally is.
George
is
sacked on a daily basis.
Yes, he is.
So I just thought that this was somebody you just blamed every time something went wrong. It was this mythical figure.
No.
But he's sat here in front of me.
George is a real boy.
Yes. George, it is a pleasure to meet you. Yeah.
Hello. Yeah.
There we are.
Near the microphone, George.
Thank you, Kevin.
That's all right. I'm just doing my bit. But people will know George around the club. He's a volunteer and does a lot of good stuff. The club works at the club shop. You do work on stuff. But George is also famous because he... I think I know already, but you tell. I think the word obsession is fair. George has to be the first person in the ground at any game he goes to.
Is this true?
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that for?
3 years, I think my record is at the moment.
He's always first in the ground. But what is actually quite funny, last week at Oxford, I shouldn't laugh because it's not funny for George, it's very serious. Two fans saw that George was getting near the turnstile. We got there quite early and you could hear the doors being opened from the inside and we're thinking, George is not going to be first. And these two fans kind of cornered him and were in a pincer movement.
That's
so George
horrid.
Couldn't be first in. And then they were genuinely going to go in before him and then one of them just looked, you could see a look on his face saying, like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't do it. It's like... Anyway, but he obviously felt sorry for George and let him in. But
I mean,
there is video of George going in first at Gillingham and at least two other grounds where you see that he has to go in first.
So talk us through it. Why? I mean, we've all got like superstitions often as football
of course,
fans.
Absolutely.
You know, I have some lucky Leicester socks which I wear to every single game. They're not lucky. They never have been, but I still wear them every single time.
Yep.
Why do you do it, George?
I don't know. Like you said, it's just a superstition. It's an unlucky superstition, so to speak.
And are you going to carry on doing it forever?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how early do you have to actually? Because surely each stadium does different opening times, do they not?
It's always about an hour and a half before kickoff.
Yeah.
Sometimes only an hour.
Has there? Obviously, you mentioned here Oxford of a close call.
Yeah.
Has there been a time where you've been going travelling in a different mode of transport? You thought, oh dear, I'm going to be tight here.
Yeah. No, I never get there that tight.
No.
George's. Well, if I can show you my WhatsApp, our WhatsApp group. There are pictures that George sends us of the team sheet or the programme or of the ground when he's there sometimes 3 hours before kickoff. It has been known that he's been there for more than 3 hours before kickoff.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Normally just standing around.
What time did you get to Sunderland, by the way?
Probably 10 to 12 for a 3 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah.
Fair play. Well, look.
But at least you got a ticket.
Yeah.
Some didn't. So I, this is not a criticism at all. I think it's an interesting thing that I don't happen to, you know, share because I just want to get there. For the match, but it's George is famous for that. Also, if you're ever a post on the Wombat Underground Press guest book, George is Ball Boy Don as well. So I think that's George, one of our. You were our first ball boy, weren't you?
Well, not the first, but I think I did it longer than anyone else.
It was first there when he was.
Yeah, so George is a part of the furniture. So hopefully, you know, tonight will prove that George is a proper Wimbledon person, and without him, the club wouldn't be the same. I think that's fair to say.
I believe you. Pleasure to meet you, George. Very pleasure, much indeed.
As background, it's quite comprehensive, isn't it? No one knows anything about me, and that's absolutely fine.
I know you're not on Twitter.
Well, yes.
But you are?
That's kind of... Well, I am
it's a lie.
I am for work.
But that means you're still on Twitter.
But I don't follow anybody on it.
That doesn't mean anything.
No, but I don't look at it.
You're not on Twitter if you have a Twitter account.
But it's not my Twitter account.
No, but
I operate
use that Twitter
the
account.
Company's one. Not very often, I have to say.
I don't care.
But you can't find me on it, is what I'm saying.
But you got
a personal thing. No, I never look at it. Never look at it. Honestly. Not
interested.
George, yes.
Is Kevin on Twitter?
Sadly not. I don't think I've ever seen him tweet anything.
No, but that's not the point.
I've never seen him look at Twitter on a match day or do anything on social media.
Right.
Apart from Facebook.
Yeah.
Fine.
Instagram, that's mainly my band.
I'm not accepting it ever, and you know I'm not.
I'll show you my band one, because Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, accidentally liked my band
Accidentally? How do you know it was an accident?
Well, because he...
Did you message him?
No.
Thanks for liking, he said, who are you?
No, he messaged us and thanked us for playing a gig, because we have the same name as a band in Canada.
Okay, I think you've told me before, actually.
Yeah. And then he thanked us, and then it wasn't us, but we had over 1,000 likes. And people saying, oh, thanks for keeping the music alive. No, I've never played in Canada.
Yeah, we've got producer David in the studio. These were all the printouts, sorry, chaps, that I was supposed to print out for you, which I didn't because I forgot.
Thanks, David.
And then I tried to do it during the news, and I didn't do it very quick because I'm rubbish at computers and used the wrong one. But now we can talk about things that happened on the football pitch.
Yes, let's do that.
Shall we talk about Bristol Rovers?
Yep.
Opportunity missed.
Yep.
Shall we say that?
Yep.
If we start there. It's 3 draws in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And no, you don't need me to tell you that if you just turned one of those or two of those into a couple of wins, which was completely feasible, we'd be sat here looking pretty, wouldn't we?
Yep. Yeah. At half time, we were 17th, thinking, oh, this is pretty good. I didn't want to look at the league table. Someone showed me the league table. My friend John showed me. And I was like, I don't want to see that. But it was tantalising. But we have taken the lead in the last 6 home games. 2 wins, 2 draws, 2 defeats. That's not great.
No, I mean, it's always going to be the way with us. For as long as I can remember, we've been poor at home, failing to convert sort of early goals into wins.
Mm.
And I never feel comfortable when we score in the first half hour like we did on Friday, or against Accrington, actually, as well, wasn't it? It was a relatively early goal as well.
Yeah.
We just never seem to be able to close those games out. We always seem to concede and, you know, hang on for a point in the end.
It was... Yeah, I mean, Accrington, obviously, we were lucky to get a point because they missed a pen. Bristol Rovers had a couple of chances to win it, but we should have been 2 or 3 ahead. We had one shot cleared off the line by a player who wasn't even looking.
Mm.
It was going in. The player was actually facing the goal and hit his heel and went out. I mean, extraordinary. But we can't rely on good or bad luck. We've got to rely on actually scoring more than the opposition, and we haven't done it. We've only lost, is it 2 in 12? It isn't bad at all, really.
No, it's not.
But it's just so frustrating that if somebody else said, I think it was Gary Jordan, said, swap that round, and had we been behind at half time and come back, would we be pleased with it? Mm. Possibly.
Yeah.
But that's what.
Because ultimately, it's still the same amount of points, isn't it?
We only got a point, but it was just so frustrating because it was a late goal. It was a good goal, to be fair.
Their goal both was of them were. Yeah.
Oh, Pickett, Joe Pickett's goal was fantastic, but their goal was equally good, and it's frustrating. We are. I think the danger that I think we're all feeling is that have we run out of steam a bit?
I wouldn't. I mean, obviously, you're seeing the 90 minutes, and now I'm seeing the highlights and looking at the results. It feels that, I wouldn't quite say momentum, because it does feel that, you know, those draws need to be wins.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are other sides doing significantly worse.
Oh,
and you're looking at Southend and Walsall and thinking they are in somewhat free-for-all. You know, and Bradford, they're going to go. So your odds now are that it's between yourselves and about 6 other sides above you for one place.
Yeah.
And those odds, I mean, I'd take them.
Yeah.
I would have absolutely taken those on December the 8th.
Of course, and that's what I mean.
Yeah. Now, it's just kind of, we've got to that point where we're almost disappointed if we don't start. Obviously, it's going to be a real blow if we go down, but it's going to be disappointing twice because we've got to that point where we were awful the first half of the season.
Mm.
Wally and Glyn came in, the ethics changed, and it wasn't just the team effort and it wasn't just the players, the ethics of the whole team seemed to change, and it's to lose it this late would be horrible. But I've printed the fixtures out again, so but you look at Accrington, you said Accrington is slipping, they've got Doncaster away, Plymouth at home, and then they finish at Portsmouth.
Mm.
Don't fancy Accrington's chance at all. You look at Plymouth, they've got Barnsley at home, Accrington away, Scunthorpe at home. It could come down to Scunthorpe, we've got Charlton, Bradford and Plymouth. That's a tough one. But if you look at the fixtures, what I did, bottom 9 sides, final 3 fixtures. Next Saturday, 8 of the bottom 9 play each other.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, As George said, George has this fact. Go for the fact of how many teams are left that have nothing to play for.
Well, there's only two teams mathematically that are done for this season. They can't go up or they can't go down. There's three games left. I can't remember a season or a league where that's happened before.
I think they're saying four, but you're saying two.
Yeah, it's mathematically. Yeah, mathematically, it's two. Two teams have goal difference.
Five can still go automatic.
Yeah. Five can get automatic. 11 can get in the playoffs. Yeah. And 13 can go down.
I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? It's the league to be watching. And I know that you would rather probably be one of those two sides with nothing left to play for at this point. But I tell you what, I mean, George, are you home and away?
Yeah.
When was the last time you missed a game? Or how many have you missed over the course of like your lifetime of support? And I presume you've got an incredible kind of percentage here.
I think it's been about 3 years since I last missed a game.
That's incredible. So look, mate, you've seen it all. And obviously you've seen, you know, the situation of what it was under Neil Ardley, and I'm sure you had the same thoughts and kind of wishes of everyone else in the podcast that you liked him. He's done a huge amount for the club. But tell us about the change that you've then seen under Wally, because it was kind of almost stepping into the unknown, wasn't it? Because you'd only had Neil for so long. Yeah. What kind of difference have you seen?
It's just a lot more energy. There's a bit more spirit, a bit more energy amongst the playing squad. He's made changes. He's got rid of certain players like Trotter. Source made his first appearance for a while on Friday. And he's brought in people like Wagstaff or Michael Falivi or Joe Piggott he brought back, who was sort of gone missing a bit towards the end of Neil's range. You know, he's brought in Toby Civic, Paul Clambay. He's brought in young, hungry players, and that's just increasing the energy, and that's just, you know, we're staying in games for 90 minutes rather than dying after 60.
Mm, absolutely.
And those young, hungry players are actually younger than you, George, aren't they? In almost all those cases.
Yeah, most of them are younger than me.
Yeah, I hate you when that starts happening, George. When you
get used to when you're 50, and even the manager's younger than you. But
No. The thing that upsets me, I'm now at that stage of my age where, you know, people I remember coming through as a 15, 16-year-old are now retiring and thinking, oh, wow, I'm old.
Yeah, the one thing is when sons of players, you know, they retire.
Did you see Jussi Jäskeläinen's son playing goal this weekend? Yeah. It's like, no! How is this happening? It stop!
For me, it's someone like Stephen Clements. Yeah. I remember Ray Clements being a fantastic goalkeeper. Stephen Clements played for Tottenham.
Stephen's retired.
He's retired.
His son's a footballer.
Yeah, probably is. When I'm starting watching grandsons or people I used to watch.
Dear me. Yeah. Very quickly, 0208 70 20 558. George is our special guest in the studio this evening. I had a couple of tweets already directly questions for you, so get them in for us this evening. It's especially that we've heard so much about George, so let's utilize the delight that we have this evening. He's with us until 9 p.m. We're going to take a quick break. When we head back, we'll do some of those questions and we will continue to talk about that game against Bristol Rovers and this incredible situation that we find ourselves going into the back end of League One this season.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display, our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Just had a horrible sip of very cold coffee. It was either the wrong one or the time has flown. I think time has flown. Can somebody get me another coffee? I'm on for another hour and a half. Right, so Bristol Rovers from the weekend. You talk about that, the situation in the squad that we had. I notice a number of absentees of familiar names. You mentioned Soares back in after, you know, not particularly being involved. The names, Kevin, that weren't in, am I missing something? Were they injured, suspended, or were they just not in the squad?
Well, we believe they're just not in the squad. Andy Bartram appears to be fit because he played for the under-23s in midweek and scored. Not in the squad. I think that's a shame because he adds when he comes on, he's not a starter anymore, but he's certainly got quality when he comes on. Kwesi Appiah was supposed to be in the squad for Oxford, but as far as we know, was left out of the squad for a disciplinary reason. I don't know if that's actual. Everyone actually knows that, but apparently that was what I was told by somebody who's not a club official, by somebody who knows. No, it wasn't George.
It was George.
No,
George, are you the mole?
generally wasn't George. I wouldn't sell him out anyway, but it generally wasn't him.
Sack him again if he was.
We could sack him again. So Kwesi not in the squad. Tanai Watson not in the squad on loan from Reading. I mean, you know, he hasn't had a great season. But this said Oxford, we had six subs. And then obviously it's unfortunate Rob McDonald had a family emergency, had to leave before the game. You're not going to know about that before kickoff. But to not have enough players to fill the seven subs when we've got those players who aren't in the squad. And then Deji Oshoala, been injured since January, back in the squad for Oxford yesterday, our club captain, not in the squad.
Yeah, no, I saw
fully
this.
Fully fit. Yeah. And then someone, I don't know how, someone saw him drive off at 3:30.
Well, he's got like a pink Lamborghini or something.
I don't know what he's got, but I don't know who was not in the ground at 3:30. Maybe a programme centre or a turnstile operator. But that he was seen leaving the club at 3:30. Now, I know injured players are often allowed to leave. Don't have to stay. But if your club captain who's been left out because he's not in the squad for whatever reason, he really should stay and watch the game. I mean, I get anger and I get disappointment.
Yeah.
You've got to stay and watch the game to set an example. So those players, I think that's a sign that those players are not going to be around next season. I think we're another large churn of players. And I think that's why we're in this position now. The churn of players last season was too much.
Well, I mean, you're right. You've had Tenai and Jake Jervis, who's both of them are online. Both of them have gone missing. Tyler Garrett, who played for the under-23s on Sunday morning, or Saturday morning rather, sorry, rather than doing an open training session at King's Meadow. So I think players are just being frozen out now. Players who are not here next year are starting to be frozen out.
So, yeah. Deji, obviously I've spoken to these chaps all season. It's been an ongoing thing, hasn't it? We all know his contract situation. We all know his status within the club. And we also know that there has been offers for him at some point. Now, that's clearly not going to happen with regards to an offer. You know, he's either going to sign a new contract or he's going to leave. But it now appears from the weekend that he's on his way out.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all known that for all season. Ever since we turned down the money from Ipswich, sort of in the summer, that he's on his way out in the summer. It was just a question whether we got any money for him or we let him go for free. And it looks like we've let him go for free.
Okay, I've got a couple of tweets for you, George, if you don't mind. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, first one from Nick Draper says, ask George about Walsall away in 2016, our first game in League One after promotion that year. Is there a story here?
That was the last game I missed.
Was that the last? Okay,
that was the last game on this. Thank you, Nick, for bringing that up.
I love the fact that three years ago, Nick remembers that.
Yeah.
Why did you miss it?
Well, I've got dirt on Nick, so don't worry.
It was on holiday.
You were on holiday, fair enough.
Was it anywhere nice?
No.
Okay, Mark Hendricks tweeted and said, has George been sacked yet?
No.
He hasn't been sacked, okay.
Give it half hour.
Oh, and this one's for me. And what positive omens will me bring us for this week? Are you away next week again? Okay, so if you're not aware, every time I'm not here... I've still got an unbeaten record.
You have.
I still have an unbeaten record. Unfortunately, I am here next week. Okay. I mean, is it fortunate? Unfortunately, let's go with that one. You can agree or disagree.
Can I bring up another? This is a sign of George's dedication to the club.
Yeah.
Okay. So, George, you're doing a football business degree. Is this correct? So, one of those football business degrees. You've seen the adverts. Other degrees are available, of course, but George is doing a football business degree. Now, he had the chance as part of his course.
You've just done that off a university course. It's like it was a chocolate bar.
Well, no, I don't advertise. They pay. They should pay money for this. So George had the chance to go to, as a work experience, as part of the college course, to go to the Bernabeu Stadium, the home of Real Madrid, work there for 3 days. Yeah. But George turned it down because it clashed with a friendly, pre-season friendly.
Where was it?
Bournemouth.
Dover away.
I was about to jokingly say Bournemouth.
It was Dover away.
Oh, my days. I mean, there's a lot to admire about that, but also I would say, George, that was a bit silly.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Regrets? Did you win the game?
We drew, didn't we?
I don't know. I went to Bournemouth. I took his place.
Why
and
would
to be
anyone
20?
Remember that pre-season friendly other than you, George, and Dover?
But I'm just saying, again, I'm not having a pop at George. That is George's level of
dedication. No, I love it. There we are. Keep those tweets coming in at Love Sport Radio, or just send them. Are you on Twitter, George?
Yes, at Fullboy Don.
There we are. I'm sure Wimbledon fans, you already know that. But anyway, get your tweets into George. We're going to take a break when we come back here on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show. Loads more. League One. It's crazy.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Okay, I've got some sad news. It's breaking news.
Oh, no.
I've just had a tweet in from the bosses.
Okay.
At 9 Years Podcast.
Okay.
Hearing that story about George missing a trip to the Bernabeu to attend a pre-season friendly has left us with no other choice. George, you are sacked.
Oh, not again.
No.
Lasted longer than I thought I would.
Well, it was 23 minutes. It's been a pleasure. No, honestly, you can leave now, George. Mark Hendricks says you should now be known as Stato Man. Yes. Are you a stat man?
Kind of. Not as much as others, but... kind of.
Well, you're the biggest stat man in the room, so you can take that. Gary Fletcher, thank you very much for your tweets. He's made it back in time from a barbecue.
Oh,
hope you enjoyed the lovely weather.
I knew about that,
So managed to tweet in. He says, question to Kev and George, safe or League Two? Come on. We've got to be positive, haven't we?
I'll level
because I know I came out on this radio station a little while ago and I felt like I was the last remaining positive person with regards to your football club saying. And then I finally said, you know what, I'm going to say, you're down. Let's start playing for League Two. Now, I've gone. I've flipped completely. I am now 100% sure. that you will stay up. Because of what I said earlier, there is only one team really left, I believe, in my opinion, that will go down. And your form is better than theirs. And over the course of the three games, with the fixtures you've got remaining, I am so confident that Wimbledon will be fine. Of course, you still need to go out there and do it. I'm not saying that. But if I was other football clubs, if I was Accrington, for instance, or Rochdale, I'd be significantly more worried than I was as an AFC Wimbledon fan. Now, with the way that you have been playing under Wally over the course of the few months, yes, it would have been nice to have turned a couple of those draws into wins, but you must be sat here, not guaranteed, but thinking the likelihood is we will be in League One next season.
I think I'm going to go, unless it's a very obvious statistic, I'm going to go 52-48%.
I don't get it.
In favour of staying up. I just think if it does come down to the last game of the season, which I think it will, and we need to beat Bradford, we are capable of beating a team
already relegated.
Who I'm not suggesting for a minute Bradford are not going to bother, but if you're already relegated, your last home game of the season, it's not a nice thing. Most of those Bradford players will not be there next season.
And there'll be guaranteed protests as well under the ownership of that ground.
We are going to go. We're hiring a 12-seater minibus, which I have just discounted.
George driving.
George is not driving. I thought I was going to drive. I've just discovered as a diabetic, I'm not allowed to drive more than six people at once. So I'm sorry. So Chris Draper, brother of Nick, will be driving. He is a police officer, so we have to be very careful.
Yes.
Anyway, so Chris will be driving, and one or two other people can drive back. But sadly, not me. I was happy to do it. But I think we might just do it. It's going to be horrible. That game, I think we're going to spend most of that game looking at our phones, checking other scores coming in, hoping that Plymouth and Scunthorpe, which is the final game of the season, that could be, I think it could be whoever gets the most points out of Plymouth, Scunthorpe and us will stay up. If it's a draw then between Scunthorpe and Plymouth, then one of them will go and we'll stay up. And it's going to be come down to that. With our fixtures, Luton away, champions elect away who need to win on Tuesday.
But then your final two are more favourable, aren't they? I know, but it is somewhat all ifs and buts. Let's talk about the game, though, again, from the other day.
Yeah.
I know you wanted to talk about the referee, Kevin. You thought that he had a storming game and you'd like him again in charge.
It was extraordinary.
For the remaining three fixtures, correct?
Yeah, I have refereed, not at under 15 level, right? And I've run the line, and I know how it works. Right? I've had to do the things, I've done all the courses and things, and it's very, very boring. But I have never seen in any level of football a referee not be able to count to 10.
Was it sunny?
No. Well, yes, it was sunny. But
maybe
I mean,
dehydrated.
He might have been dehydrated, but it was in the second half, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite early.
Second half, we got a free kick, probably 35 yards out, and he made the wall was standing 5 yards as they tend to do.
Yeah.
So he purposefully strode, or very small strides. And we counted out. He got to 8 and stopped and sprayed his line. And then the players in the Bristol Rovers wall
looked forward.
But no, they looked at each other and were like, oh, okay, we don't need to walk. So they stayed there. He walked on his way back. Anthony Hartigan and Anthony Wordsworth over the ball. Both of them, you can see them pointing to 8. They were saying 8. Hartigan held, or maybe his words, held up 8 fingers. And the referee was going, no, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And they pointed to the wall. So the referee shrugged and went, you can see him going, okay, well, I'll mark it out then. So we got to 8 again and then stopped them. And you can see him go, oh, yeah, 8. And then took 2 more strides and made him go back again. Mm. So ended up being 2 lines on the pitch.
It still wasn't
10 yards anyway, because he was not striding. It was 8 steps. It was probably about 6 yards. But I mean,
he
was dreadful.
Apart from his inability to count.
He was abysmal. We should have had two nailed-on penalties. Yeah. He was letting the fouls flow for the whole game. It was just one of those, but he seemed to lose control of a game that was not out of control.
Yeah.
I understand losing control of Celtic Rangers, right? I get that. But Wimbledon and Bristol Rovers, there wasn't a bad tackle in the game,
no,
was there?
Not really, no.
And he just seemed to lose control of it. It was it's Graham Salisbury. So we'll add him to Charles Breakspear and Chris Sargentson as our referee, and Trevor Kettle as referees that give us nothing.
Eh? He got us promoted, Trevor Kettle. Went all that against
that's
him.
True. Yes, he did. Fair enough. Other than that, he's done nothing for us. what the Rome's ever given us, other than promotion. It was just an extraordinary performance, a staggering ineptitude from a referee. And you think he's refereed higher than that.
Yeah.
It was just...
Yeah, I know the name.
Terrible refereeing. And I wouldn't say it was biased against us. It was just awful.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff he gave against them was laughable. It was just a really poor performance. And I don't want... I keep saying we don't want to walk away from a game and talk about that. We have a 25-minute walk back to the car. I'd rather talk about the match. And talk about our fantastic goal and their great goal. Yeah. And we're not talking about the referee.
Let's talk about substitutions instead, shall we?
Go on, George.
Take it away.
their subs influenced the game, basically, and we made a couple of odd subs. Like I said, we brought Saws on, which he was trying to, I think he was trying to bring in, add a bit of muscle, add a bit of control into midfield, slow the game down. Because he was going to make it when we were still 1-0 up. He ended up making it when it was 1-1.
Yeah.
So I can see the thinking behind that, but then he brought off Joe Piggott, who scored our goal and is our only real goal-scoring threat at the moment. And that was at 1-1 as well, so just it was an odd one. There were a couple of really odd substitutions that I just can't get my head around.
Rovers did make very good changes. They brought on Liam Sercombe, who I'm surprised wasn't starting. But their three substitutions made a massive difference. All three of them were probably the best three players on the pitch for the time they were on. They played really, really well. Clark Harris, who scored 11 and 12.
Yeah.
But been really well marshalled by our back three. He kind of changed position and came over to their left. And Sercombe was feeding him all the way through for 20 minutes he was on. So you have to congratulate Bristol Rovers management team, Mr. Coughlin. Happy, big fan of his pastries. Other bakers are available. He was I keep doing that. He made three really good subs, and they changed the pattern of the game. Our three subs, I'm not saying they're anonymous, but they didn't change anything. Yeah. But as George said, Tom Saws was going to come on as a defensive midfield player when he won 1-0 up with 15 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Odd move, but okay, I understand it. Then we concede a goal while he's about to come on, and he still came on.
Yeah.
It seemed like a strange. I just said, right, sit down. We need to win this. Because Tom Saws is not going to win you a game. He might save you a game. He ain't going to win you one.
But I think the game was going against us. That their goal didn't come out of nowhere. They were applying the pressure. Yeah. They were playing through the midfield. Yeah. And I think Wally just thought if he brought on Tom Saws, it shore up midfield, had a bit of power in there. And he was just hoping that we wouldn't lose. And thinking if we can stabilise, then we'd go on and build and score late.
Yeah. Because whatever you think of it, a draw was probably a fair result, really. We had the best of the first half, and they had the much better the second half. No, it's... We needed to win that game, but I couldn't, hand on heart, say we deserved to win.
But the thing is, though, you've mentioned, haven't you, on a few occasions, how you've taken the lead and not kept it. And I suppose you could swing it and look that as the game develops, that the substitutions, not necessarily just in this game, but in all of these other ones, haven't necessarily influenced the game the way that Wally would have intended or liked. I suppose that there's a question mark is there then over about Wally's, you know, ability to be able to do that with his substitutions and with his tactics.
Maybe.
I mean, we seem very inflexible. I can't remember a game this year where we've changed out of this 5-3-2 since we started playing it. Sometimes we play with sort of a bit of a wider three or sort of a variation of it, but we've never gone, I can't remember a time where we've gone to a back four or something.
Our subs go like for like normally.
Yeah.
Wide player comes off,
yeah.
Wide player comes on.
Is it usually the same time as well? I know certain amounts of this habit where they do it on the hour, at 70 minutes, at 80 minutes, and like for like, and so rigid, and it's so predictable, it almost becomes, not laughable, but when things aren't going your way, it's just like, that's not working. I know Roy Hodgson does it all the time, and it's a huge frustration of Crystal Palace fans. It's like, when it works, great.
Yeah.
But when you're not winning games, I know, obviously, it's not dire in any way, but you know, when you need a game to swing your way, it's an easy thing to look at the manager like, well, just do something a little bit different. You know,
how can we
stand here or sit here in the stand saying, oh, that's not working, why don't you try change formation? And the manager seems unable to see it.
We've done it a couple of times when we've gone four at the back when we were losing, but only for the last 2 or 3 minutes. But again, you don't stick. I mean, Paul Callum Bye is a defender. But he's what, 6'3", big lad. Stick him up front for the last 5 minutes. It's not going to.
Why not?
He's got more chance of winning the ball in the air than James Hansen at most of the time. Joe Piggott, despite the fact he's 6'2", he's not. He doesn't play like a tall.
Yeah, he's not physical.
No, and you can't expect him to switch it on. But stick Callum Bye up front for the last 5 minutes, or Rob McDonald, or someone who's got to batter somebody. We're a very polite team. I think we've got one of the best disciplinary records in the division.
Yeah. Mm.
Don't want to see that. No. Sorry, I don't want that. Well, yeah, I was brought up in the 70s and 80s. We used to batter people in a nice way.
Yeah.
But you would help them up afterwards. We just don't do that anymore.
Yeah. No, it's fair enough if you're playing for the Fair Play League and going into the Intertoto Cup in the Premier League.
We did that.
but we're not. We're in League One. You're fair. It's right. It's right. You know, you need to be able to mix it and fight when necessary. And the last thing you'd want is to be bullied by a side and you lose a game with the situation that you're in right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a situation in the second half on Saturday where Will took a booking for, you know, denying goal scoring opportunity. Yeah. Stopping a breakaway. That was the first time I've seen that in a long time for us. One of our players taking a booking.
And we all applauded him for it.
I was going to say, did you clap it?
It's the only thing he could do. He's only going to let someone clean through on goal, or our nice guy, you know, local boy captain, steps across him and takes him out. Yeah. Sorry, ref, take a booking. Well done.
Okay.
Good booking.
Let's keep these tweets coming in, please, for me this evening. Not just for George, but by all means, you know, keep them coming in to him. But what I'm more interested in is just basically going off Gary's tweet, really, with regards to the situation with your survival bid. Where are you sat with it now? As I said, you know, I am in the fortunate position where I can remove myself emotionally. Yeah. It's not my football club, although obviously I take a very keen interest in it. I'm looking at the fixtures, I'm looking at the form, I'm looking at your league position, and I think that the likelihood is that you'll be in League One next season. Am I kind of one of a few, or are we all listening in the same boat as
George,
me?
George, you didn't.
No, you didn't actually, George.
I'm just about edging towards, I think we might just do it. George, you didn't say anything.
I think we might do it. We need 4 points, in my view. So okay. I think we'll know by this time next week. I think we'll know if we're going to do it or not.
All right. Okay. Well, there we are. Women fans, do you agree with George? Get in touch at Love Sport Radio. Or if you really want, you can give us a ring. You can talk to George, the man himself, the man, myth, the legend. 0208 70 20 558.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
All right, I'm just doing some mathematics with the games that you've given me, Kevin, so I can do a bit of a predict myself, so we can work out under my predictions. I mean, you must have all done this. You must have all done this a billion times, and it's changed every single time.
I've memorised it because it helps me get to sleep. generally, I've never had trouble sleeping before. The last few weeks I have, and it's helped. I either watch rubbish on iPlayer, or I memorised the last remaining fixes of all the bottom nine.
Oh dear, you must have said this so many times. I'm sorry, you know, my distraction. I probably should have done this earlier. So Scunthorpe, where are we going to save? Home against Bradford. I think they probably win that away at Plymouth. Yeah. So I'm going to put them on 51. So Scunthorpe will be safe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Right, Wimbledon, what are we saying? I'm not going to say what I'm going to do. 51 points, you're safe. I've got you on 51 points.
You've got two wins, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that, yeah.
And I've got the other team to go down, actually, is Wickham.
Have you?
Yeah, along with Bradford and Walsall.
Okay. So Walsall get points against Wickham and nothing else.
Yeah, I can't see them getting anything else.
Okay.
I think, and then looking at Southend, those home games against Burton with nothing left to play for, effectively away at Rochester, I think they'll get a point there. And I think Sunderland, I think for me, Bradford, Walsall and Wickham will go.
Okay.
Be happy with that?
Bradford, Walsall, Southend and Wickham.
Oh, sorry, yeah. So you've got those three, and then to throw Wickham into there.
Accrington staying up.
Yeah, just by a point. They say Wickham are the last on 48, and then Accrington on 49. That's what I've got. I mean, Accrington, I think they're just fortunate, aren't they, that they have been in free fall basically since Christmas, but because they had a very good, decent start to the season, that momentum.
They were top half for most of the first half. Yeah.
But so I watched their game against Luton the other day, and they were a million miles off. But what I thought was particularly interesting with it as well is that John Conwell literally made no substitutions or no attacking changes. He basically just accepted they were going to lose that game because... Obviously, he was then prioritising the ones coming up, which, you know, a certain degree of logic, but at the same time, feels like the negativity that he knows that football club is in trouble.
That can't help. But that pitch, there was those three sort of hills in the middle of on the halfway line. Extraordinary. It's like a park pitch, isn't it? It's terrible.
I thought I'd banned wrestling talk from this.
You have. Just don't mention it. Don't even mention it.
No, I won't. So just so you know, Nick.
But you've said the word now.
No. Just so you know, Nick, I'm going to read half of your tweet out, and the other half I will not, because you spoke about that thing that we can't talk about. It's banned from the podcast, well, isn't it, George?
Yes.
It is. Well, okay. So Nick says, I agree with Jake. That's started well.
Good, yeah.
I think we'll stay up with two wins from the last two games. Okay, we'll keep those tweets coming in. Mm-hmm. Nick, Jake are on the stay up. Kevin, you're a little bit unsure, as is George. Yeah. But we're edging towards safety.
I'm never going to vote against my own.
Well, of course not.
But it's
feelings, isn't it? You know, we've all been there like various times when you just know you've just got that sense of doom, or you think this positivity.
Do you ever get that thing at a game when you're at a match and there's a corner, you can just see a goal, and it sometimes happens? I can see us celebrating a goal at Bradford.
I've got the ability to think we're going to score, so I get my phone out and film it, then we miss. Yeah, I'm good at doing that.
Would you ever watch that again if you had filmed the goal, though? Would you watch it?
Yeah, do you know what, in general, like whether I'm at a gig or at a sporting event or anywhere, and it's the general consensus, isn't it? Everyone has their phone out. Yeah. And it's a great point, because I thought this, a recent gig I was like, never once in my life have I then gone home and watched these videos again.
No.
Yet we all do it.
I don't. Exactly for that reason. I like to watch things through my eyes, not through a little screen.
Yeah.
But again, I would someone filmed one of our songs the other week on my gig two weeks ago. And I saw the guy come in the pub, and that was me playing in pubs and not playing venues particularly. And he filmed, and I thought it was good. A guitarist was looking at me, like, someone filming, okay. And he filmed one song.
Yeah.
And we go, okay. And then he turned it off and he left.
That's all he needed.
He just came in.
He had the best one.
Very, very strange. I don't know.
But can you hear your music elsewhere? So people wanted to hear your music, could they?
No, because we're a tribute band.
Oh, okay.
So we just...
Well, you could. You could listen to the
Yes, we
the originals.
We defer to the original band, the Tragically Hip. But the genius of our band is that we're a tribute band to a band no one's really heard of in the UK. Okay. But, you know, it's okay. It's fun. It keeps me off the streets. Keeps me sane. Up to a point.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Up to a point, yeah.
So, let's talk about the next game coming up for yourselves, Luton. I mean,
briefly.
Yeah, we will do, we will before we get into the proper
stuff.
We'll
talk about Wickham, but this is a horrible one.
No, let's talk about Luton. Let's talk about Luton. I mean, it probably is going to be a promotion party for them, or certainly that's what they're hoping, and you have the ability to go there and spoil it.
Mm.
I mean, for instance, Norwich had the opportunity the other day when they were home against Sheffield Wednesday.
Yes.
And when something... I mean, I'm trying to see the positive here.
Don't worry,
I'm trying to spin it so it's not just a matter of we're going to go to the leaders and we'll lose, because it doesn't have to be
that.
You know, when there is a huge amount of pressure on it, everyone will expect... The pressure on Luton as well, for them to turn up and produce... There is no reason whatsoever that Wimbledon go there, score an early goal, and then that mood completely changes.
Yep.
You know, and it is. I think this game is not as easy for Luton as
look. It's not a clear-cut victory. No. It's not like a cup game where you're playing a team several divisions above you. And again, Luton have done it the right way. I think most... And also Nick has his Luton tendencies. But as a club, I think most people felt really bad for Luton when they got relegated 10 years ago, starting the season with minus 30 points.
It's not like three seasons in a row, didn't they, with minus points? It was one of them.
But that minus 30 at the start of the 08-09 season
was
just ridiculous. And they were punishing that regime, but the problems occurred two chairmen ago.
Yeah.
So it's just really bad. And I think people like the fact that Luton are actually getting back onto it, maybe back in the Championship. They seem to have done it the right way. Yeah. They've bought well, and they've still got kids. They've got people like...
And they lost their manager. And they've still
lost their manager. Mick Harford's come in. Obviously, Wimbledon connection as well. You've got players like James Justin, who's been a kid there. And I think they've done it the right way. However, I'm not a fan, I'm not a fan of the place particularly. Had a bit of an issue last time I went there in the conference. Didn't go in the league. I got held over a bridge and threatened to have dropped onto the motorway below. So that was fun. It's generally true. That's quite shocking. So I've never been back. So I'm going. Thanks to George. Thank you, George.
What's protection?
No, he's got me a ticket. George has me. I wasn't going to go, and George got me a ticket. that's not going to work. With all respect, I don't think George is going
to
be.
What are you trying to say?
I wouldn't fancy my chances.
Just follow Nick around. They'll think they're one of them.
Yeah. So I think
it's like when you send in the. What's it like a porn? You just sent it in George as cannon fodder, and Kevin can walk in through the side door unseen.
Just a canary in the coal mine. You send a canary down first season.
You've sacrificed George.
Canary's dead. Okay, we'll take it down. So you don't begrudge Luton anything, I don't think. But I just think it's one of those games you look at and think, oh, if they were already up.
Yeah,
fine, but they need four or five points to guarantee it.
I know, but you know, it would feel that if they won this one,
yes,
whether they win it or second, but promotion would pretty much. You know, obviously the champions, it wouldn't. I think I need to ask, obviously, because they are the league leaders. I remember a little while back when you lost at home against Barnsley, and I can't remember who was in the studio. I think it may have been Nick, and he said that they were the best side that you faced this season.
Yep.
I mean, looking at where Luton are, obviously, I know Barnsley are second. I mean, they it felt like they're going under the radar, because everyone was looking at Sunderland, everyone was looking at Barnsley, also Portsmouth, because they started like an absolute train, didn't they? But what have you made of Luton? Do you think that they are the standout side, and do you think they have any kind of issues, you know, acclimatising to Championship? Because they do feel like one of those football clubs. You look at Portsmouth, you look at Sunderland, you look at Barnsley, you look at Charlton, and you think, oh, you know, Championship football club, they'll be okay. I look at Luton and think, well, you know, yes, they have been in the Championship before, and yes, they've done well in the Championship before, but it's been a long time. It does, unfairly so, and it is completely irrelevant, have almost a small club mentality about it.
It does a bit,
With regards to the facilities, and, you know, It's not. It feels unfair. But do you look at Luton and think, you know, fair champions if they go on to do it and can go on and be a decent championship side?
They've lost one in 30. They've got
not a bad run.
is it second or third best defensive record? They've scored the most goals. Yeah. They've got the top scorer.
Yeah. Yeah,
but the thing is,
they've kept the most clean sheets. I mean, you can't complain. I think Luton deserved to be there. After 43 games, you tend to deserve to be where you are.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not saying we are. To be fair, but Luton, the top five, have all been very good.
Yeah,
there's one.
A couple of sides are going to really good sides are going to miss out this year.
They are. That's good for League One next season. But
but that's the thing. All of the teams that I've seen us play against this year, obviously, Luton are probably the worst out of that five.
Serious?
Yeah, I didn't see them as anything special when they played at Kings Meadow.
No, that was the start of their run, wasn't it? That was their first unbeaten game.
Yeah, whereas...
So we helped them on that run, as we tend to do. Yeah.
Whereas Barnsley, Sunderland, Portsmouth as well, actually, they've all blown us away at least once this season. Luton just didn't do that.
Well, Sunderland blown us away by a single goal twice, but yeah.
Yeah, but you could see the quality. Luton didn't stand out much. Maybe they'll be different now they're unbeaten in 30.
I don't know what their... Oh, one defeat. They did lose it last week. So they've. I don't know what their budget's like. It's not massive. It's nowhere...
Luton's.
Yeah.
Well,
it's probably decent. It's, it's nowhere near Portsmouth. It's nowhere near Charlton. It's nowhere near Bradford.
Well, they spent well, didn't they, in League Two? But they didn't massively invest this season, did they? Again, it just felt like the momentum that's just carried them through. And obviously, not diminishing in any way or form what they've achieved. But yeah, it feels like they've done things the right way, like you said.
But the fact they've got someone like George Moncur on the bench. That's the same way with Oxford last week. Oxford brought on quality players. They brought on James Henry and Jamie Mackey.
Yeah.
Players that we would
played in the Premier League, haven't
they? Both played in the Premier League, I think they have. Obviously, Luton missed out on the Premier League by one season because they went down 91-92 when they were absolutely terrible. 91-92 is our third or fourth home game at Selhurst Park. We beat them 3-0.
George wasn't born then, were you?
No. George was nowhere near.
A long time before I was born.
I was just making sure. But that, I didn't know if you're like me, George, where you look really young.
That was one of the worst...
Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry, I wasn't actually laughing. If you know me well enough, you know I wouldn't be laughing at anything. But that was one of the worst teams I've ever seen. But no, I'm a bit concerned for Tuesday. I think because the goal difference amongst the bottom nine is very close.
Yeah.
And we, at one point, had the worst goal difference in the division. Yeah. Now it's only the eighth worst, incredibly. Because we lose narrowly. We don't get hammered particularly.
No. And it's incredible when you look at how many goals you've scored, though, as well. Yeah. That you find your goal difference not being the worst.
There's been the least amount of goals in our games, I think.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. If you don't want to look at it and say, well, keep the score down. But if we do lose and we only lose 2-1 or 1-0, I don't think that's a bad thing. If we get hammered... That's a problem.
It is a good point. It's a fair point.
Yeah.
Go down on the last game of the season because of we've on goal difference on one goal. If it's goal scored, I'm going to use the word stuffed. We're absolutely stuffed if it's goal scored. We haven't even scored 40 yet. It's a bit poor in that. But we know where the problems are, and Wally and Glyn know where the problems are, and it's not necessarily the strikers is the issue. We're not creating chances.
Mm. I mean, that's the thing going into the Luton game. Obviously, you've got two options of this sort of game. You can either go and attack, hope to get an early goal and, you know, ruin the atmosphere. Mm. Or you can sit back and hope to hit them on the break late. And you can't see us attacking early and getting that early goal.
It's a dangerous game to play, though, isn't it, City?
Yeah.
You know, it feels like when you go to Man City and think, right, we're going to sit in and try ruin this and ultimately lose 1-0.
Yeah.
Or we go attack them and either win 4-2 or lose 8-0.
It
was earlier in the season, in August, away to Barnsley. We sat deep. It was under Neil, but we sat deep. We broke, and we got a 0-0 draw away to Barnsley.
We should have won that game.
And we could have won. We could have won that game. We had a dodgy offside decision against us.
And a penalty that didn't go against us. But, I mean, Luton are worthy. If Luton do win it, they're worthy champions.
Yeah.
And I would like to see us... I want to see us compete. I want to see us get to that point, because Luton is not an enormous place. They've not got massive amounts of money. They've got a nice new ground coming, so have we. We can talk about that. I'm a bit concerned by it, and I don't like hoping my team are going to lose, but if we do lose, let's keep it.
No, I think it's a fair point. Right, it's Love Sport Radio, it's the AFC Women and Fan Show. When we come back, it's the final section of this week's show.
Giving your team a voice, Love Sport Radio.
Right, I suppose that we should probably talk about some matters that have happened off the field since you were last here. Rather big news for your team. Eric Samuelson been there, forever. He is now no longer in the position that he was. Talk to us, views, Joe Palmer.
Yeah. I've only met Joe a couple of times. Walked past him on Friday and heard someone go, "Who's that?" It's not his fault.
He's your boss, mate.
He's been in the shadows deliberately, learning from Eric, taking his time, and not being overly public and overly engaging with people. I presume that's deliberate. But he's going to get fed up with this phrase, safe pair of hands. But that, I think that's what he is. I think it's a good appointment. The fact that he's now CEO of our club in League One, he's been chief operating officer at Sheffield Wednesday and, oddly, Shakhtar Donetsk.
No, I read that.
I'm not sure how that came out. I know. His job was bringing in a lot of those Brazilian players. I don't know whether he brought in Willian and Fred and some of those other players. Yeah. But that was his job. So he's clearly suited for the job. He's clearly qualified to do the job.
Yeah.
The fact that he came in January last year, obviously no one knew who he was. We knew that was the CEO. His job was coming up. He got the job. No one knew him. Looked him up. Seen that he's a Sheffield Wednesday. I have familial connections with Sheffield Wednesday, so I looked him up. And then the only time that anyone saw him was the AGM in April last year, or SGM in April last year, when there was talk of the season ticket holders. You have to have gone to 80% of the games to apply for a season ticket.
Yeah.
That wasn't his idea. But he was asked to present it. And talk about chuck him under a bus. Yeah. Because it was really, really badly received, understandably, because it's a terrible idea. But he's only known as the person who came up with that idea.
Okay,
but he did not come up with
it
that idea.
His.
He presented it. So he's been... that wasn't a great way from the start. He hasn't made himself particularly available. He hasn't engaged with the fans. I guess this is deliberate. I think he's been learning from Eric. He's been under Eric. But we've known all along that he's come in to replace Eric at some point in time. I just don't think we expected that some point in time to be now. But it is, and I think Eric leaving this stage is kind of a slightly odd with four or five games to go. Joe is...
I mean, it doesn't
the right
matter
of job.
As such, does
it? No, it doesn't. It's not hugely in lack of stability, but it's just a strange timing. But, I mean, George, you spend far more time at the club than anybody else. I mean, you thought it was a good idea too.
Yeah, I mean, the timing was strange. And for example, it was brought up at the open training session on Saturday that contract negotiations had started under Eric. Then Eric left halfway through negotiations. So for Will Nightingale, who's sort of standing captain, they've had to restart negotiations effectively, losing the best part of a month of time.
Yeah, so that's a fair point.
The timing is odd, but Joe Palmer's great. That was his only public appearance, was the 80% thing, but he's done great things behind the scenes, like doubling our bar capacity and much more involvement. And I know employees at the club like him and trust him to take the club forward to where it needs to be with the new stadium.
Yeah. No, he's against safe parents, it's a terrible thing. But I think...
five times.
Yeah, but he is. That's the only thing. We don't know enough about him. Other than looking at his track record and what's happened, nothing disastrous has happened while he's been there. Mm. You know, I think he's been... He's been waiting for his chance, and now he's got his chance. Yeah. He's grown a beard in that time as well. I'm pleased about that.
That's one of those things, though, as a football even manager or an owner, is like, he's not messed up, so he must be okay.
Yeah.
You know, we've all been there with bad football owners. A word, though, on Erik Samuelsson, though. You know, it's probably important to give him a word and a mention.
No, he did an incredible job, and... when you consider he retired from a life in accounting, very high position in accounting. Was he PricewaterhouseCoopers, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Retired, decided to, watch football, and got involved in running our club in 2007, was it?
Yeah.
Seven?
Yeah.
So he's 12 years. Obviously, his involvement got bigger and bigger and bigger, and I think people saw that maybe he just didn't delegate quite enough. It took a toll on his own health, apparently, and in his own well-being. You don't want to see someone suffer. He didn't
look, not for the sake of football.
I didn't think he looked quite as well the last couple of years. No. He looked like it's the stadium stuff. There's so much that we don't know.
Yeah, of course.
That he's been dealing with, and he's done it very well. I think it probably was... he certainly thought it's my time to go, and I think he's probably right. I'm not criticising him at all. Obviously, he wants to spend more time with his family. His eldest son, John, is the guitarist and main guy behind the band Public Service Broadcasting. So he's got a lot of family stuff to get involved with. He's quite involved in that as well, as a dad can be. So he's got a lot of stuff going on in his life. His wife's been ill and she needs surgery. They've made that public. So good luck, Eileen. I think it was the right time for everybody, I think. And Joe coming in as a younger person who trusts social media a bit more than Eric did. Eric's not a fan of social media at all.
Like you.
Doesn't... no, it's not. I know. I'm big into it in other forms. But he didn't trust it as a form of communicating with fans. And I think Joe, as a younger person... I don't know how old Joe is. I think he's going to be a bit more behind that. So maybe as the 9 years podcast team, that's going to be good news for everybody.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Eric. And good luck. Congratulations, Joe. So, Nick, if you are still listening... he thinks you will still stay up.
Yep.
And it'll be the greatest escape, get this,
since
Triple H retained his world title in the Elimination Chamber at SummerSlam 2003. Producer David, do you agree? Yes, he does. AFC Women and Fans Show will be back next week, 8 till 9. Thank you very much.
Love Sport. Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.